Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This very episode is brought to you by Casper Mattresses.
Doing. It's me bouncing on my Casper mattress.
And getting an erection.
Oh, come on, mate. This is filth already.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll bleep it out.
Which part?
The mattress part.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. Bleep the essentials.
Red hot comic book movie news. Shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows.
And the Royal Wedding.
My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason. The Royal Wedding, people who listen or are talking about it, it's divided into people like, who cares? Who cares about the Royal... And then it's people who love it more than anything.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, where do you fall?
I didn't watch it. I'm not against it.
No, that sign you're holding says otherwise.
Yeah, all right.
It says, I'm against, very much so,
yes.
The Royal Wedding! The text gets bigger.
Oh, okay, right. Different fonts.
Yeah.
And at the bottom, it's just wingdings.
Yeah, good on it, man. Whatever.
Yep.
It's a dead monarchy. People are getting married. But, it, you know, it's breaking down barriers. And that's cool also.
That is cool.
Isn't that your dream to marry a prince, Mason? Live in a castle?
It wasn't, but now it is, I guess.
Well, they're all... Are all the good ones gone now? Are the good ones taken? Probably a scam.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a couple that still live in the basement.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. With weird ears and... Whatever's up,
weirder he is.
Sorry, yeah. Couple of things.
Anyway, that's royal talk.
Boy, is it. Couple of things up top. We've got a charity campaign still going strong.
We cracked $10,000.
Did we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Fantastic. I haven't looked at it.
Oh, no, we didn't. The listeners did.
We all did.
The great weekly whacker to do's.
Agreed. So basically, you know what? I'm going to pause this. It's probably really echoey because there's no
pillows on the floor.
I'll be right back, everybody.
Okay.
I'm back.
Back in the room.
I just recently worked out that there's a pause button on the record,
so
I don't have to just leave it running and then keep all that in. We've only been doing this 7 years.
If I were to look at that recorder now,
yeah.
Is it a microscopic button hidden like on the underside or is it like right there with all the other buttons?
It's probably, I had to choose,
yes.
It's probably the right there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Great.
But, you know, I'm not an expert in anything.
No, that's
let
true.
Alone pressing a button on this thing that I don't understand with a cracked screen. Right, what are we talking about? Charity campaign.
Yep, $10,000.
That's right, and as announced last week, if you donate any amount of money, we're getting a bunch of prizes from our wonderful sponsors.
That's right, we are.
A couple have been confirmed, a few others on the way, but you got to spend money to make money, and what better way to make money than to steal from a charity?
Yep.
I mean, there are better ways,
yep.
But this is a way you could do, technically.
Yes.
If you win.
Look, we've recently seen the failure of Alex Inc., the sitcom about a podcast network.
That one stings, Mason.
Do you think that we're going to maybe see a TV series or a movie about somebody attempting to scam free merch out of a podcast charity campaign?
I think that's the next.
That'd be Ocean's 9,
yeah,
right?
Alex,
you need 9 guys.
That's true. And also, Alex Inc. wasn't inside baseball enough in terms of podcasting. People understand podcasting the world over. Radio is dead.
Yep.
Let me tell you that, Mason.
Uh-huh.
It's only podcasting.
That's right.
So they need something deeper.
I just get in my car and turn the frequency over to podcast.
Correct.
That's what I do.
That's it. So that's below. It'd be great if you could donate to that. It goes to Care Australia, but it's an international
aid organization.
Mandate. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it goes all sorts of places. And the other thing is, we did a Rogue One commentary, which
that's
is also
we did.
Linked below in Ready for Solo coming out. So we thought, why not do that? And we did.
We did it.
So that's it's on Patreon already, as people know. It's on Bandcamp. You can grab it however way you want. It's linked below.
It was fun.
It was fun. The movie did, or the
both of the things.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
You don't think the movie was fun?
It's totally fine, Mason.
Okay, good.
It's got a really
great.
Good third act.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's the best looking Star Wars film. Both sure of the things both things I say in the first 10 seconds, and then I don't say anything else for the rest of it.
Bit of sizzle there.
Bit of sizzle there. Okay, a bit of sad news. Margot Kidder has passed away at age 69.
That's true.
She, of course, played Lois Lane in the 1970s and 80s Superman films with Chris Reeves. Yeah, she was great.
Mm-hmm.
And she did have her share of personal mental health problems. She wasn't doing a hell of a lot of acting at this point, but it's a big loss. You know, she was a real pioneer for strong female roles.
I think she sort of perfected that. She cast the mold for that, like, Lois Lane sass
definitely.
I think a lot of other actors have sort of attempted to reach.
Yes.
At a certain end with varying degrees of success.
Yeah. I don't mind Amy Adams. I don't think the Kate Bosworth one really, because she was supposed to be that same character, but it didn't quite fit at all.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it might have been because she's 2 feet tall.
It could have been that, yes. Margot Kidd is a slight woman.
Oh,
but
okay,
yeah,
right.
The cause of death is unknown, so we're not really sure what exactly happened. But it's a big loss. So it's a shame that she 69 is not very old either. It's older
in Hollywood, certainly.
Definitely not. It's older than some, but it's also younger than others.
That's very true. I think there's something in that for all of us.
I think I've summed that up perfectly.
Yeah, I know.
But
right?
Yeah, it's a big loss.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that's a bit of a big win, Mason, especially
here
for
we
you, because I know you love Star Wars.
Oh, actually, speaking of,
okay,
yes, I love it more than anything, because this week, if you want to check, my friends Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos have a podcast called Total Reboot.
Yeah,
I listened to that. They talk about movies of old and how they'd reboot them and et cetera, et cetera. It's a whole bunch of fun. I didn't get to do one of those episodes, but I did an episode where we talked about Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's up on their feed right now. So you just go to iTunes and look up Total Reboot.
It's a lot of good fun.
It's right there. It's good
fun.
I
listened to it because I was supposed to do it with you and I couldn't.
Uh-huh.
So I listened to it and then I just went, ha, 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 the whole time, just pretending I was there.
Were you having a nervous breakdown?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But no, it's definitely worth listening.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Total Reboot.
Anyway, I love Star Wars. Continue.
Okay, so you love Star Wars and
yes,
I know you
right.
love celebrations.
Star Wars Celebration.
And I know you love April of 2019.
That's to be determined, but I would assume so.
I
love most Aprils of my life.
April O'Neil.
Yep.
And that's all I've got in the month.
April showers, I think, is an expression of some sort.
Disagree.
All right, then.
I mean, probably.
Okay.
And you love Chicago. What do all those things say to you, Mason? What do they add up towards?
Are you getting me a private basketball session with Michael Jordan?
Correct.
Of the Chicago Bulls?
In the
during Star Wars Celebration?
That's right.
Going to shoot some three-pointers?
You know it.
He's going to raise me up and I'm going to slam dunk?
That's exactly what's going to
happen. A Death Star-colored basketball?
You know it.
Wow.
That's why April 2019 is your favorite month.
Oh, this is going to be great. I cannot wait. This is going to be so good. I'm going to count every week from now until then. I'm going to count down just my chance to meet the Jord, what I assume his nickname is.
I also know for
any other news that you would provide for me about this would be a massive disappointment at this point. But just say it anyway. I mean,
sure.
I know what's coming, and this is so thrilling for me.
But I also heard just that he's growing back his little Hitler moustache that he tried to bring back in fashion. He's bringing it back.
Terrific.
Back.
Nice.
Yeah, so that'll
be in time for April 2019.
Correct, yeah. But no, the real reason is because there's a new Star Wars Celebration.
The real reason.
That's the real reason. There's no Michael Jordan at all. He's a cartoon character.
What?
Didn't you see that movie?
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
So I haven't attended any of these ever. The last one was somewhere, Anaheim, and the one before that was in London. I know Steel from Steel Wars is a big fan. This seems like a nightmare to me. I would only go to this if I was the highest member of the press and I didn't have to line up for anything.
Who do you think the highest member of the press is?
I don't know, some fuckwit at the Hollywood Reporter or something.
Oh yeah, cool, nice.
And we'll never be that, Mason.
No, well,
we'll just be some fuckwit doing this.
Now that you've mortally insulted him or her, we've burned that bridge, so thanks a bunch. Never going to be in the Hollywood Reporter.
No, I know. But so it's good. I'm assuming this is happening because next year. Well, there's no Star after Solo. Mm-hmm. There's no Star Wars movie until the end of next year.
Yeah, right.
So this will be kicking off towards that. Of course, there's the TV series. There's new trilogies or whatever happening. There's a new animated thing. It's all happening. Yeah, very good.
Okay.
There's a new Chewbacca.
What do you mean?
They've recast him.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
He does a good job.
Okay, good.
So that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Peter Mayhew do the voice of Chuba? No, that was okay.
It was like a bear covered in peanut butter or something. You know how they used to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Ah! They're allergic. So honey, yes. Peanut butter, absolutely not.
Picnic baskets?
Yeah.
They love them. Yeah, that's what I thought. Them. Okay.
We've got a potential synopsis for the Obi-Wan film as well. Take this
based on who? Who's
exactly?
You're right. Okay.
Not from the Hollywood Reporter. Not from the big shots over there. So take this with a grain of
salt. Is this like
Sam?
Is this like Latino News? Sometimes Latino News often gave some scoops back in the day.
I think they're
Latino Review. What
yeah,
was it?
I don't know if they're still doing it, but I don't think they're getting as many scoops.
Okay, right.
As I said though, Mason, take this with a grain of sand.
Ooh,
I've done a thing there.
Oh, Tatooine.
Yes.
Okay. Fun beach times.
Obi-Wan is on Tatooine being an elusive hermit and stuff. Wow, this is... I didn't read this before, but this is great. But secretly watches over an infant Luke Skywalker whom he delivered to his uncle. Well, they used to his uncle, Owen.
Back to professionalism, I love it.
Tensions between the local farmers and a tribe of sand people headed by a ruthless war chief eventually brings Obi-Wan out of hiding and into Jedi kick-ass mode. And then it just says... Then there's a full stop. Then it says scene. It's not a scene.
It's not a scene. Who wrote this? This is not a Hollywood insider. Unless Hollywood insiders they have a whole bunch of lingo that makes them sound like total idiots.
Mm.
Or like people who are, hey guys, you know how we're right in the middle of the Hollywood scene?
Yeah.
We should chat like we're totally on the outside of the scene. Like some idiot fanboys.
That's it.
Making stuff up. Let's talk like that. This is official stuff. But let's write it as if we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the fact that it started with and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think this is accurate.
And also, look, and maybe we're wrong. We've been wrong many times.
I don't see how this could be good. He could kill 100 sand people.
Yeah.
Did you remember when Anakin Skywalker... Maybe he does.
Whoa.
Anakin Skywalker did it. Remember when they showed up in bloody... In the first Star Wars, he made a noise and they ran away. This isn't
because he's killed. Because that's the noise of a man who's killed several hundred sand people.
No, it's a crate dragon, Mason.
Oh.
In the original, it's like but when they redid it, it goes oh. Like I changed it
right
for the special edition.
Oh my goodness. Well, maybe that's his nickname. What is it? The crate dragon.
Crate dragon. I think it's a crate dragon.
Maybe they call him the crate dragon because, wait for it.
Yeah.
Wait for it. In this movie. Because they're going to have to tie it together. That's the thing.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Oh!
He's going to be in a crate.
Yeah.
And the sand people are going to attempt. They're going to attempt to heist the crate. And then he emerges from the crate like a sexy lady out of a birthday cake.
Oh my.
And he tears
God.
Him to pieces with a lightsaber. And then they live in fear from this point forward of the crate dragon, is what they called him. Ooh!
Do you want to hear it? I can play
yes,
it. Okay,
please.
Here we go. I thought, because it sounds like I made that up.
It does.
Okay, this is the
starting sound.
Okay, this is a theatrical version.
Okay. Right.
That's the original. It's like a siren and a man screaming.
Okay, right. Okay,
this is the new one. It's for the Blu-ray.
That's so good.
Oh, we missed a bit. It still goes.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
Like, wow. At the end of it.
Wow.
Anyway, that's my new ringtone.
He's the man of a thousand voices, that guy.
Boy, is he. Just like our good friend Matt Stewart.
That's right. Well, he's the man of a thousand sounds.
That's true, he is, yeah.
Also, that synopsis sounds like literally the first pass of like any kind of Obi-Wan movie synopsis.
Yes.
All right, he's in the desert and he's got to look after baby Luke Skywalker.
Which we know.
And there's a gang lord and sand people.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Good. Good that there's literally no surprises there. That's fantastic.
It's a ruthless war chief.
Okay, right.
Or it might be chef.
Oh, so, it's a ruthless war chef. Played by special guest star Jon Favreau.
He would, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's in the new one. He's in Solo, actually. He's like a four-armed monkey man.
Ooh.
So there was also some information this week. A French interview went out that misconstrued what Kathy Kennedy said about... I call her Kathy. Because we're on the take.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But that...
Wait, can I call her Kathy Kennedy? Am I on the take?
You're not on the take, Mason.
God damn it.
Do you want to be on the take?
I mean, I'd lose my journalistic independence, but yes.
Good.
It's not even about the money. It's just about being on the take. It's imagine being on the take. Well, you don't have to imagine. You're on the take.
It's only for free teas anyway. It's just about being on the take.
Yeah, yeah.
For,
yeah, nice. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that Lucasfilm, the next spin-off movie they were going to do was Lando. But what it basically boiled down to was everything's under consideration and we'd like to continue whatever.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if we do get a Lando
for sure,
spin-off
point
film.
Yes.
Here's the synopsis. Lando's a gambler and stuff.
But where'd he get his cape?
Okay, so there was a new...
Lando has to face off against a ruthless warlord who wears a fine cape. Will he defeat him and get the cape? Yeah.
He does.
He does.
See.
Yeah.
So there was a trailer for the Happy Time Murders, which was something I was kind of looking forward to because it was...
It's Brian Henson,
it's
right?
Brian Henson.
It's the son of Jim Henson, who also directed some, like, legit
some good Muppet
movies.
Stuff. And he's also, and it's also, it was like a LA, like, a noir detective movie with puppets.
Oh, and that was the original synopsis.
That's what it was, that's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
But it just looks like Crank Yankers.
It does look like Crank Yankers.
I don't know what this is,
uh-huh.
But I'm not saying this won't be good, but this looks fucking terrible. Do you agree or disagree? It looks like a bad version of Who Framed Roger Rabbit mixed with Team America.
It does seem like both of those things.
Yeah.
I think maybe it could be good. I don't know. The trailer's not super promising.
No.
There's a lot of bad taste gags in it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can work.
Yeah.
But if they're just relying on, hey guys, Muppets are fun and wholesome.
Yeah.
But now they're just spraying
silly
string on everything, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. Look, I guess it doesn't look that bad. I was just surprised at how not good it was.
Here's a concern of mine that I saw as I was watching this trailer. Have they put every joke in the movie into the trailer?
Mm.
It kind of feels like they're the best jokes.
Yeah.
And that's what they've given us, and there will be no surprises in this movie.
Are you a fan of Team America?
I haven't watched it since it came out.
See, I saw it maybe 4 or 5 years after it came out,
and
I'd heard it was this amazing thing, and I'm like, it's all right. I didn't think it was particularly funny.
My dad loves it, I think.
I bet he does, Mason. Yeah. I bet he's watching it right now.
Could be watching it right now. Yeah.
Well, he's going to love Crank Yankers, the movie.
Good.
Oh, man. What a world. Do you like Batwoman? Do you want some Batwoman news?
Yes, I know what this news is, I think.
Okay. Batwoman is coming to the CW this December in a crossover event.
With Arrow, probably?
With Arrow.
Because he exists, Batman, the Bat family exists in the Arrowverse.
Some of them.
Bruce Wayne has been mentioned.
Yeah, maybe some of them have showed up, like a minor Robin. I don't think so, no. Yeah.
Mm. Cool, like man.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well for the movie, I think. If they're allowed to do this.
Right. In terms of, do you mean Gotham City Sirens?
No, the Batgirl movie that they were supposed to make. Remember Josh
yeah,
Whedon?
Right.
I mean, this is Batwoman.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Or maybe it's Batgirl, but I don't think they would have allowed the Flash to happen. And I think that was, there was that kind of, with that Flash character, everybody in the movies, people are like, well, he's not like the other guy.
Yeah, okay, right. So you're saying that this... What are you saying?
I'm saying that maybe the movie isn't happening.
The Batgirl movie isn't happening at all because they're like, well, we've got one female Bat character.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Because a lot of these characters aren't getting movies.
But maybe they're test running Batwoman.
Yeah.
And if there's a positive reaction to Batwoman, then they go full tilt on Batgirl.
I think that's a mistake.
Okay.
Because I think you just end up in a similar situation. Yeah.
Okay.
With the Flash and the Flash.
The Flash and the Flash, right.
Give her a weird run like they did with The Flash.
So are you saying because there's time... one of the reasons I think that people don't like Ezra Miller as The Flash, but they do like other guys The Flash.
Just to be clear, I didn't mind him. But anyway, go on.
I did mind him.
Okay, good.
I liked him in his minor role in Suicide Squad, but I don't think I liked him in the rest of...
That was really great.
It was great.
Yeah, that's one of the best parts of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go on.
Other part, Boomerangs. Is it because they gave... time for Barry Allen to develop as a character in the TV series.
Yeah.
He had a lot of space and a lot of hours for people to enjoy the character.
Yes.
And then we get a version of the character at the movies. It's just like, I don't know what I'm doing, boo.
Exactly.
But I don't think there's that much crossover. I don't think that your average movie fan is also watching The Flash on the CW.
I would say a lot of people watch that. It's a very popular show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, most people don't,
right.
I would say. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't. But Some people do.
Sometimes I catch up. Sometimes I watch the musical episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I watch, generally with the CW shows, I watch anything, any musical episode. I think there's been one.
Yep.
And any crossover events.
Yeah.
So I watch Invasion or like the Flash and Green Lantern, Green Arrow team up.
Sing a bloody song.
Sing a song, exactly.
Or maybe they're still doing the Batgirl movie. Maybe it's still happening because
I think
clarify,
maybe this is...
This is Batwoman. So they maybe... No, well, it's not Batgirl, so you can do Batwoman.
I think that is. And I think a lot of people are like, hey, why don't, if you're using all these characters, why don't you use Batman? Batman's expensive.
Yeah, he's very expensive.
And you don't want to have a cheap-looking Batman.
No.
I think DC would be like, unless this is $10 million an episode, you can't make this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to have a garbage-looking Batcave, garbage-looking Batmobile or whatever. The thing about Batwoman is you can just have her swinging out of the shadows. Doesn't need a Batcopter
or a
Batmobile.
Just needs a bike.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give her a bike.
Give her a bike. Yeah. But maybe the lesson learned here is that people don't want to see an existing character then just shunted over to the movie universe
with
a slightly better or worse costume, depending on your perspective.
Mm.
Maybe the idea is we'll test a similar character, and if that works, then we'll try. Because Batwoman and Batgirl are very distinctly different characters.
Yeah, but I think to the general audience.
Oh, now we've got a general audience.
No, but I think it's like, how many people know that there's different Robins?
Good point.
Some people.
But again, but didn't you just say that there's the Flash audience is a very smart audience that's also going over the movies?
No, I said some.
Okay, right.
I don't know what I said.
Okay.
Look, it's just, you know what, it's probably nothing. How about I just end on that?
Okay.
They're just making two things. How about that?
Yeah, okay, right.
Let's just, that's my definitive response.
Okay, I love it.
Here's something that they're making. Mm-hmm. This is another thing, two things. Do you love the series Gotham because it's a prequel to the
Don't love it. But Batman what I universe. Would love is to learn more about his sassy butler, Alfred Pennyworth.
You better believe it, Mason. But
now, a prequel to a prequel.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Gotham prequel with Pennyworth.
Yes.
It's not actually connected to the Gotham universe.
Oh, is it a different Alfred Pennyworth?
Yes.
Is it going to be a different actor?
Yes.
Because wasn't he the best part of that show?
He could very well be. People love Gotham. I don't watch it, but people love Gotham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apparently they can't call the new Joker the Joker.
Really?
Yeah.
Too expensive. He'd need a Joker-mobile, Joker cave.
Cave, and into all of it. Yeah, exactly. You can just have him swing in.
So what's the character's name?
I don't know.
Right. Do you think that's a rights issue, or do you think it's a function of the Joker's origin is always in flux and we cannot definitively say anymore that this is his origin?
It's probably both, but I'd imagine they don't want to definitively say in a TV series that this is the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to... So this new story is going to explore Alfred's origins as a former British SAS soldier who forms a secret company and goes to work with Bruce's billionaire father, Thomas Wayne, in 1960s London. That doesn't sound terrible.
That doesn't sound terrible.
And it's by someone involved with Gotham.
You know what I'd love to see? All the Batman villain origins again.
Oh my God.
But even earlier.
Maybe it's why it's not connected.
Yeah, right.
So you can do all
do
that.
Do it again.
Just do it again.
Because in Gotham, we just had the Riddler. He was working. You know, we had Bruce Wayne was a little kid and the Riddler was already working at the Gotham PD.
He was riddling about.
He was riddling about. So we just do it again.
Yeah.
Now they're all just bother boy types in England. I don't know.
Well, realistically, you could maybe do a Hugo Strange. You could do a Mr. Freeze.
Yeah,
you could do maybe a Clayface. Like, there's characters you could do.
But that's the thing, why?
I know, I agree.
What's
but I'm,
this show? This is a copy of a copy of a copy.
Yes.
Like, I can see how it could potentially work, but they're either going to go, okay, this is a Bat family property, so we have to keep tying in Batman characters, even though it's a different continent.
Yes.
Or is it? Is it Gotham again?
London.
It's going to be in London. Okay. So it's a different continent, but we're going to have to ship all the Batman villains over again. Or it's just about like an SAS guy and a rich guy teaming up and fighting crime.
Yep.
Which is either of those appealing to you?
No. But I've watched every episode of Krypton. So
no, you have.
I have.
How is that going?
It's fine. I don't hate it. I don't understand why it exists.
How much of it is just, hey, in a couple of years, there's going to be a Superman.
Okay, slight spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. Zod turns up through time.
Great.
So I'm like, oh, Zod's here. That's interesting.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, there's holograms and S-shaped keys.
And isn't there just a kid from like the modern day Earth?
Yeah, it's, no, it's not, he's not a kid. He's Adam Strange or
something. Okay, right. All right.
Is it Adam Strange? I can't remember. He's a New York guy. What do I know?
All right.
But
does he have a fin on his head?
No, he's got a baseball cap on his head.
Does it say Adam Strange?
Yeah, it says
on
Adam Strange. Okay, cool. Let me check if it is Adam Strange.
New York Adam Strangers. That's his favorite baseball team.
Yeah, it is. It's Adam Strange.
Okay, right. All
yeah,
right.
Okay,
all good. Right, pretty good.
Excellent stuff.
What are we talking about? I've forgotten.
Pennyworth.
Is it? Do you think it's going to be called Pennyworth?
No, because it's too long and it sounds what like a boring British thing.
But Alfred. Don't call it Alfred.
Butler Squad.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You can't call it Alfred. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think they will call it Pennyworth.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no place to turn one. There's no letter that they can turn into a dollar sign, which I think
can
would
you turn one into a penny?
Yeah, the O. The there O would go. Be a penny. Yeah,
there's your answer, Mason.
Nice. Terrific. I'm sorry I doubted them. It's going to be called Pennyworth. But maybe the penny's a gold penny. Cause
maybe when they introduce Baby Two-Face, they can flip the penny and it's scratched on one
side. So good.
There you go. That's your logo for season two with Baby Two-Face terrorizing London.
He's just got some... He hasn't been horribly acid burned. He's just got some like pureed apple smeared on one side of his face. And his parents won't rub it off for some reason.
We've got a lot of DC TV news.
I still want to talk about Pennyworth.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I just
we got to do the rest of the show.
Right, but I'm just saying, it's just bizarre.
It is bizarre.
But it's just they're stretching out. It's like, do you like Batman? Yeah, I love Batman. Do you want to see a story about Kid Batman? Not really, but I guess. Hey, did you like Gotham? It's fine. Well, do you want to hear? Do you want to have a hear the story about the butler in Gotham?
Oh, same actor?
No, different actor. Just a guy who probably has the same name and. And the dad is in it.
You know what you could do? Court of Owls.
Oh, yeah.
You
okay.
could do Court of Owls.
Have it start in England.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. I fixed it.
Is that... How many seasons are you getting out of that?
100. They're still around in the modern day. And Alfred's family has tangled with him in the past.
All right.
So they killed his father or some shit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, that's the countdown clock on this particular season. How long till they kill his dad?
That will 100% be the thing
his
that
dad
happens.
Is in a wheelchair and they live together and he's always like, I love you, Alfred. Or do you keep being a butler?
No, he's...
I'm ashamed. It's a shame I can't be a butler anymore.
I was going to say, because he was a butler.
Yeah.
Also.
But you can't be, but you can live on and be a butler. But
I don't want to be a butler.
Well, as long as I live and breathe, I want you to be a butler.
Okay.
I hate you, Dad. No, he'd say it in a polite British way. Do you think he'll be Tweedly Mustache?
I think they'll make him Cockney. They should Tweedly him, though.
Yeah.
Give him like a bit of, you know, Avengers. Not Avengers. Like the
Avengers.
Like Ray Fiennes.
Ray Fiennes
give
the Avengers.
Ray Fiennes him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That would work.
I think that would be more interesting.
Mm. Anyway, I'm done talking about Alfred.
Are you sure? Because you wanted that to go on
no,
longer.
I'll come back to it at some point.
Just,
is this a copy of a copy?
I don't...
What's next?
I'm just the news,
what's
Mason.
What's next?
I'm just the news.
What comes after that?
Greg Berlanti.
No, I meant what comes after. What's the prequel? What's the prequel to Pennyworth?
Well, it depends who you introduce.
Just
I guess.
Somebody who works. No, but it has to be even.
Bruce Wayne's grandparents.
No,
obviously.
You know what? It's somebody who works at a fish and chip shop in England. That's it. And it's the seedy underworld of the fish.
Fish Mooney. Yeah. The Fish Mooney dynasty.
We've done it. All right. Fish and Chip, and we, you know what? And we meet her great grandfather, Chips Mooney. I'm back on board.
Good, excellent.
All right, I'm glad we got there.
I guess
it's very late, isn't it?
It's too late for this. Mm. Greg Berlanti, one of the minds behind Flash, Supergirl, and Arrow, he's working on a Doom Patrol TV series.
Ooh.
It's a reimagining of DC's most beloved group of superhero outcasts. Robot Man, Negative Man, Elastic Girl, and Crazy Jane, led by a modern-day mad scientist named Dr. Niles Calder, the Chief.
Ooh.
The Doom Patrol's members each suffer horrible accidents that give them superhuman abilities, but also left them scarred and disfigured. It's coming to the DC streaming service along with Swamp Thang.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sassy little twist there.
It is, isn't it?
On paper, the Doom Patrol does not sound good.
I wish I didn't say Thang.
It's too late now. You can't fix it in the edit.
No, I've said it twice. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Unless you change it both to thing.
And then it just sounds weird.
And then it's you're like, I wish I didn't say thing. You just sound like an oddball.
Like a lunatic.
On paper, the Doom Patrol does not sound exciting. It does sound like a very low-rent X-Men.
Yeah.
But they predate the X-Men by like 3 months, I think.
Do they really?
Yeah. And the leader's a guy in a wheelchair.
What?
Yeah, Niles Calder's in a wheelchair.
Really?
Yeah.
So is the DC streaming service going to be the freak DC universe?
I hope so.
Seems like Swamp it might Thang, be like a
obviously.
Horror. Like a horror.
I'm with you on this. I'm supporting you by saying the dumb thing you said.
I appreciate that.
As if it were a normal thing, but it's not a normal thing. I guess I would like that. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
More freak show stuff.
Sure. But harder to do. Harder to look, to make it look
Yeah, good. I guess that's true.
But maybe this streaming service is going to
glitch a lot and we won't notice.
That's very possible. Mm. Or that like they'll put more money into it. They'll do it, you know, Netflix-y kind of budget on something like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, for sure.
Weird choice, but yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
There's no mention of my favorite Doom Patrol character, Danny the Street.
What's
He's
he?
Not there. He's a street.
He's a literal street.
He's literally a street.
Can he move?
He can move between cities.
Interesting.
He can like teleport.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Can he take who's on him to a different city?
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Was he a man?
No, he's always been a street.
How did he become a sentient?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Okay. I bet he shows up.
There's also a guy who is briefly in it called Flex Mentallo, who's one of my favorite characters of all time because he's did you ever read a comic book from the 80s? And there was like, there was always an ad for like the Charles Atlas bodybuilding method.
They were doing that in the 80s?
Yeah. There was like up like from the 50, maybe even the 50s till the 80s.
What is that method?
But you were aware of it, right?
I know what it is.
It's a little
ad.
I'm surprised. It's got like barrel-chested Charles Atlas, and there was always a little comic book.
Yeah.
It was called the Insult That Made a Man Out of Mac, and it was like this 5-panel comic book.
Yeah.
And it was like this real skinny guy takes his girlfriend to the beach,
and
the bully kicks the sand in his face, and he's like, I'll show you, and then he gets the Charles Atlas method, and then he goes and he beats up all the bullies.
What is the Charles Atlas method?
I don't know. It's probably just whatever you do. It's probably kettlebell swings.
Yeah, but
anyway, Flex Mentallo is the guy from that ad.
The guy who gets sand kicked in his face?
Yes. But he's a version of that guy. He sends away for like the kit and he becomes Flex Mentallo, the man of muscle mystery.
Oh wow.
And he becomes like this super powerful muscle man.
Bullies on the beach. What an
Bullies
era.
On the beach, yeah, exactly.
People are just glassing each other on the beach in
know,
Australia
right?
now.
Yeah.
It's way better.
Yeah. It's more fun. Anyway, they won't have him, but it'd be nice.
Do you think anyone's ever really done that? Like a bully's accosted them and then they went away, put on a lot of muscle and came back and beat the shit out of them?
I hope so. If you have out there, listeners.
Please tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incriminate yourself.
What method did you use?
Yeah, was it the Charles? All right, how about this? But maybe our older listeners, if you ever sent away for the Charles Atlas bodybuilding method, please let us know what your results were like.
I don't think it
Or if
works.
You bought one of those weird novelties from out the back of it. You ever bought x-ray specs?
No.
Okay.
Because they probably don't work?
Correct.
Oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. I would have wasted a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
This is just a small thing, but Zack Snyder has confirmed that Batman v Superman takes influence from the Injustice video games and universe, which doesn't surprise me.
Costume-wise...
The future Superman shit.
It's grim.
It's grim as people breaking necks. But the thing is, I didn't think they should have done a half-assed Injustice. If he did an actual Injustice DC universe...
That would have been wild.
I think he could have crushed it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And not like, hey, I'll take some of the best bits of this and some of the best... Just do that arc.
Yeah.
Just do the...
Either, like he did Watchmen.
Yeah. Either do the start of the comic books up until, like maybe like a shortened version.
Yeah.
Or just start where the video game starts.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, this is a weird version of the DC Universe. And then what you could have done is you could have, you know, the finale of the game and then reset the universe and then go back to the normal universe. And then you could have the normal existing DC heroes.
Or have them, you could have them cross over and all sorts. You could have regular nice Superman.
Love regular nice Superman.
Me too.
It's one of the best.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
A couple more bits of news, Mason.
Or is that just him trying to hitch his wagon to a better thing?
Potentially. But there's definitely shades of Injustice in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mission Impossible Fallout has a brand new trailer, Mason.
Yeah, right.
And he goes rogue.
We learn more about the motivations of Henry Cavill's character. So if you don't want to know any going in, when is this out? It's pretty soon, right?
Like June.
Okay, right. If you don't want to know anymore... July. Don't watch the trailer. Don't listen to us.
Yeah.
Ever. But that's the thing. The Mission Impossible team and their handlers have finally done what they should have done from the start is to get a guy on Ethan Hunt for when he goes rogue to stop him going rogue.
And who else?
Because what he does. That's what he does every time. He goes
never
rogue.
Not gone rogue.
Never not gone rogue.
I wonder if he hasn't gone rogue. Did he go rogue in 2? I don't remember.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he was pretty on mission in 2.
Yeah, maybe.
We've discussed it, I'm sure. We've come to a conclusion. But he's gone rogue in every other one.
They also does that thing in trailers where there's a snippet of the trailer at the start of the trailer.
Yes.
I'm already there, man.
Yeah, I mean, what? Who's?
I guess it's for YouTube ads when that plays in front of a YouTube video.
Oh, I guess,
video.
Yeah, I guess so. But at the same time, like, oh, maybe, yeah, okay, it's a technical thing. But, like, who's watching this and they're like, it's been 4 seconds and it's just an establishing shot of a mountain. I'm not into this. I'm switching it off.
Boo. Ridiculous.
It's very ridiculous.
Do you think Alec Baldwin can be taken seriously as a serious actor? Because I look at him and I just look at his big head.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, nah.
And
that's not because he's a bad actor. It's because I've just seen him be Donald Trump and do comedy. Right. And
isn't there a moment in maybe Mission Impossible 5 where it's clearly intended to be a serious moment? He has a moment with Jeremy Renner's character.
I don't even.
It's 4 or 5, I think. And
Is he in four?
Can't remember.
I'm going to look.
But it's meant to be serious. No, it is in 5. It's meant to be serious, but everybody in the theater laughs.
Because he's Jack Donaghy.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
he's Jack Donaghy. Yeah, exactly.
It's very weird.
Mm.
What's his name again? Alec Baldwin. I just want to find out which ones he's in.
Okay.
Because in the first one,
he's in 4 and 5. I'm fairly confident.
Yeah, you're probably right. Because the first one, it's John Voight.
Yes.
And then the second one, it's Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
And then I don't know what happens in 3.
It's probably just the voice chip thing.
It probably is Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's just in 5 and 6.
Okay.
I think you are right, Mason. And that's exciting.
Mm.
And in my mind, there's nothing more exciting than an exciting thing.
Absolutely.
Last bit of news. Willow.
Oh, wait. We didn't really talk about the...
Oh, trailer? We got a question about it for later.
Okay. But, I mean, it looks good.
It does look good.
Anyway, we know that that Ethan Hunt and Henry Cavill are going to come to blows. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
attempt to machine gun each other?
Probably.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to team up in the bathroom to beat up?
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that, Mason.
Absolutely.
And then against, like, there's a guy they're beating up and throwing through a mirror.
But where do you think that's going to happen in the timeline of the movie?
I think later in the movie, then he goes rogue. And then Henry Cavill's like, not on my mustache.
Do you think that maybe that bathroom fight is taking place during Tom Cruise going rogue? So, like, I reckon...
And there's a villain.
There's also a villain.
Yeah, I
love
that.
I think Henry Cavill's like, stop going rogue. And Tom Cruise is like, I'm going to go rogue.
I'm going rogue
and
right
then a
now.
Bad guy shows up and they're like, well, I'd prefer to be going rogue. And I'd be preferring to stop you going rogue. But there's this guy, so we've got to deal with him.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening there.
And then he continues going rogue.
Continues going rogue after that. I think once he gets thrown through that mirror, I think he continues to go rogue straight after that.
Yeah.
And Henry Cavill's like, bloody hell.
This guy's gone rogue.
Yeah. This is precisely what I was brought on to prevent.
So Willow might be getting a sequel. Ron Howard has said this. I don't want to give too much away.
Hey, you hit record again, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, good.
I don't want to give too much away, but there's a little talk of Willow.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't call it Willow 2. I think it would be focused on Laura Dannon, although Willow would have to be significantly involved. I don't know who that is.
I don't know any of the words in this. I've never seen Willow, to be honest with you.
Laura Dannon, Willow. Is it the baby? Yeah, it is. So that means, I guess, they're not getting back Valerie Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
Warwick Davis would probably come back.
For sure.
This movie did not do well at
the time. You can't have Willow without the titular Willow.
No,
which
exactly.
Is what I assume his character was named.
I saw it as a kid and really loved it, and I haven't really seen it since, and I don't remember any of it.
But do you know what the plot is, basically?
A baby goes to a village, and then he has to deliver it to another village.
Huh. Is that also not the plot of Labyrinth?
No, you think...
That's a baby gets stolen.
That's stolen by David Bowie.
Okay.
And he's got a glass orb, and he's like, ooh... Remember?
That's so Bowie. I haven't seen Labyrinth either.
I saw Labyrinth really late, so again, I was like... Nah,
there's no magic. Exactly. That's why I can't go back. I can't go back to Labyrinth or the Dark Crystal, a whole bunch of stuff.
Because
I'm like, it's not going to hold any
magic.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the Dark Crystal way too late and went, nah, mm-hmm. not for me. But a lot of people love it, Mason. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's the world's number one movie.
We make a lot of bold claims on this podcast, but that one is true. Just to be clear, we just looked up the box office receipts and it's Labyrinth. Cult classic Labyrinth made $10 billion at the box office.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mason, yes. I know you love a bloody mattress.
I do.
Because this is exciting.
I love it so much I sleep on one.
Correct. Our podcast listeners
are... But don't sleep on this.
No.
Offer.
You don't.
Yes.
Podcast listeners are invited to take advantage of Casper's competitive limited time Memorial Day offer.
Ooh.
They have three mattresses to choose from. You're familiar with this. The original Casper,
mm-hmm.
which is what you have.
Yes.
The innovative Wave.
The Wave.
And the Streamlined Essential.
Ooh.
So the idea behind these podcasts is... the idea behind this podcast is, you know, movies and
You've
comics.
You've got podcasts on the brain,
mate. Just Mason. The different mattresses cater to... They do different things.
Yes.
Like in the way that a fruit tastes different. Is that a good parallel? Different fruit tastes different.
But they all provide you sustenance.
Exactly.
There we go.
Thank you for coming with me on that.
Yes, and fruits and mattresses.
The breathable design of each mattress also helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night.
That's...
Who wants a hot mattress?
Well, who wants a bloody, you know, you get a mattress that isn't as good, and then you're like, oh, I'm too hot, I got to throw off some, and then you're like, oh, but I'm too cold, but no, it's not for
no
me.
No good.
No, get a bloody Casper mattress. You know what it is? That temp.
You know what it is for you, Mason, though?
Yes.
Their Swift delivery service
mm-hmm.
that comes in a box.
Yes.
Very reasonably sized,
mm-hmm.
that you can just open and have a mattress.
That's right.
That's right.
You wouldn't bloody read about it, would you?
It's...
You'd hear about it on a podcast.
That's certainly true.
Do you like how I'm laying in a little groundwork for later, the thing that I'm going to say afterwards?
Oh, I'm very excited. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. There's also... do you want to do your thing just now then? And I'll then do my thing after that.
Okay. After you're done listening to this episode, sponsored by Casper, that's this particular
this
show,
one.
Check out Casper the Podcast, sponsored by Casper. It's an entire podcast about Casper, sponsored by Casper. It's real. I want to be clear.
Yeah.
I downloaded it. I listened to the opening bit. And Mark Maron opens this.
Yeah.
Of WTF Podcast. He does a bit at the start of Casper the Podcast. You should listen to it.
Now, last week,
I don't know what's going on.
You were sure it was about ghosts. Are you sure about that now?
I think now it's about Mark Maron.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's probably not about ghosts.
No.
Yeah. I said the ghost thing, not you.
Oh.
Yeah. I was banking on you not remembering
you
that.
You ghosted me, man.
I did in a way.
That's...
Okay, so what's that called, though, that podcast?
Casper, the Podcast, sponsored by Casper.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Now, also, we have a unique URL code, Mason, an offer... It's
yes.
going to run out real soon. For mm-hmm. a limited time, if you visit casper.com/theweeklyplanet.
CasperLikeTheGhost.com.
That's right. And if you do that, you receive 10% off your order with any mattress purchase.
Mm.
The special offer expires May 29th, 2018. Terms and conditions apply.
Ooh.
So that's coming up real soon.
Very, okay.
But I need to read that again. It says, say it twice. So visit casper.com/theweeklyplanet. All one word, and receive 10% off your order with any mattress purchase. This special offer expires May 29th, 2018. Terms and conditions apply. Said it twice.
Does it say it again?
Yeah, it does.
Wow, but you're not going to do it because you're that much of a rebel.
Man of the people.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And I refuse.
That's right. It says it till your bloody teeth fall out.
Correct.
Till your gums explode. But you won't do it. You won't do it. You're going to stand up and be proud.
Yeah. But
it's a good
mattress.
It's a good mattress.
So just,
yeah.
If you want it, you can get it and get it cheaper.
That's right.
But get in quick.
Yeah.
Mason, we've got to talk about Deadpool too.
All right.
We're going to talk non-spoilers then spoilers.
Yes.
Had a huge box office opening.
Yep.
It is now the largest R-rated opening day for any film in the US of all time with 53 million, beating out It. Hmm. But I suspect It Chapter 2 might beat this again.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it remains to be seen, but it's still a really good, it's a massive opening. Yeah. And they sorry, go on.
I was going to say, does this mean Josh Brolin is currently in the number one and number two movies?
I guess
he is. One point he would have been, yeah.
He is.
Infinity War and Deadpool
that's
too.
Still, yeah, well, this movie did.
I wonder if that's a record
well,
also.
Well, it did knock Infinity War off the number one spot.
Oh, so he's in both.
He's in both.
That's wild.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It's estimated it's probably going to make about $133.5 million at the box office, which is now the number one biggest R-rated opening of a movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Smashing Deadpool's record of 132.4 million.
Huh.
So that's 1.1 million more.
Ooh,
knocking
that
it
is
out of
more.
The park. Maybe wow. That's less than Passion of the Christ. I don't know.
Is that R-rated?
Yes.
Huh.
Because Jesus gets beaten to death.
I've never seen that movie. I saw it once. I didn't see it.
You've talked about this.
Yeah, I've talked about it. I turned on the TV one time and it was just Jesus being thumped with a stick or whatever. And he's like, "Whoa!" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't really want to watch this." And I switched over. And then I came back like 2 hours later and I switched the TV back on and it was like, "Whoa!" And really drag it out. Those movies are like 4 hours.
He had something in between. Maybe he had a swim in between.
It was the same angle. Yeah, maybe there was a swim. Yeah, I guess that's probably
just
true.
Just saying.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, Mason,
yes.
All these numbers and box office reports, they all pale in comparison to what you think the story was.
Ah! Deadpool's back. Look at his balls.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Literally in some way.
Bigger and better. And bloodier. It's gorier.
Yes.
Certain.
Bigger budget.
Okay, what's happening in this one? All right, so bloody Deadpool's back.
Yes.
And he's living large.
He is.
But then Cable's come from the future. He's going to kill a kid.
Yes.
And then Deadpool inexplicably wants to stop him.
Is it inexplicable?
I mean, it's somewhat explicable, but
it's
a bit vague. It's a bit explicable, but it's a bit vague as
well.
Yeah,
cool, man.
Yeah.
Now, you really notice the budget increase on this.
You sure do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This one's $110 million. I think it's a better movie for it as well. I think there's better action sequences, better special effects in general. There's more cameos.
Right.
I understand why they did 60 last time, but I think this is a good budget for this.
Would you say that the action sequences overall, like every aspect of them is better?
No.
Yeah.
What I thought was weird is one of the directors is the John Wick guy.
Yes.
But there's no really good hand-to-hand stuff in it.
There isn't. And I would argue that a lot of the gunfighting stuff isn't that
Agreed.
Great either.
Yeah.
It's these action sequences are gorier. There's like limbs coming off and people getting beheaded and stuff like that. But like a lot of the gunplay stuff is kind of ineffectual, really.
Yeah. I think the spectacle is
bigger, but I think the individual pieces are not. And that's interesting because I guess, well, maybe the John Wick guy is going from very much practical effects to we're going to CG this guy getting his head cut off or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's maybe the idea is, okay, we'll just sit back and we will handle.
Do you think there's no action sequence better than the highway chase in the first one? Because there's a chase scene in this on a road, which I think is probably better, but it's not better because it's better choreographed. It's just more spectacular.
Yes, exactly. Right. In terms of just a solid physical action sequence that you can sort of immerse yourself in and it looks good and visceral and real and bloody, the highway chase sequence and the highway sequence in the first one is probably the best thing.
I'd agree with that.
Because there's blood and people getting shot in the head and getting stuff shoved through the head or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's bloody, but it's not that solid.
No.
Quite negative out of the gate of this, but
I thought I had fun with this. I thought it was fine.
Mm.
I thought it was slightly better than the first one,
right,
which I also thought was fine.
Yeah, right.
But what I really enjoyed about this is the way the comic book movie and comic book deep cuts that it does.
This is definitely a movie for fans of comic book movies in general.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time I would say this is a movie for the fans in a negative way. Like, you know how if a movie's bad, the director or the cast or somebody will come out and say, this is a movie for the fans.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're just going to feed you some garbage.
Yeah.
And you've got just take it without thinking. Just watch this without thinking about it. and that. But this is a movie. This is a movie I think that is for the fans in a positive way.
Yes.
In the sense that it's, if you remember the original Deadpool from X-Men Origins Wolverine, or if you remember, if you know all the deep cuts,
if you know who Shatterstar is,
if you know about, you know, if you remember Green Lantern and cast, you know, all the weird casting changes of the X-Men movies, if you you know that this is a movie you'll get and you'll enjoy. I think you'll enjoy all the comedy and all the little things.
I think that is, if you took that out, I still think you could enjoy this just as a guy going,
there's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot of stuff going on. I think it's funnier than the first one. And I said this in my review because there's less look at my balls.
Yes.
Except for a very specific and literal look at my balls moment.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean, because I saw a few people ask or say, there's not a moment where he says, look at my balls. I don't mean he literally has to say it. I mean just dick jokes.
Yeah, right.
There's way less dick jokes in this, which I think makes it funnier.
You know what? In this movie, I feel he has better foils for his comedy. Because we've got Zazie Beetz, who's great as Domino.
Yeah.
I think she's probably the standout role in this movie.
Yep, I'd agree with that. Okay, right.
Who's your second choice?
I like Cable. I thought he was good.
Yeah, Cable was good as well. Speaking of Mark Maron, as we spoke of earlier, there's a WTF with Mark Maron that's Josh Brolin. He's very funny. He's a funny guy. And he's a funny guy, and he's lived a life.
Well, he's in The Goonies, and that's a very funny movie.
That's true, yeah.
I'm joking, it's not. Yeah, it's bad.
I know. But man, he's lived a life, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, and also, like, if we're talking sequels and spin-offs and stuff, I think they needed, if they want to get an X-Force movie off the ground, they need good interplay between Deadpool and Cable and Domino and everybody else.
Yeah,
you don't want a guy just saying funny lines and everybody just sighing. You want some back and forth. You want him to not always be the funniest guy in the room.
Yeah,
at least absolutely. I don't anyway. So
no. And you don't even mean like the guy who's quipping the most.
Yeah, right.
But you want, you know, the straight man to him works.
For sure, yeah.
Works really well. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the cast then. So there's a few new characters. One of them is Julian Dennison from Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yep. Who's Ricky Baker himself.
Ricky Baker himself, who's Fire Fist.
Mm-hmm.
Bit different from the comics.
Yes, for sure.
But I thought he was good.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him turn up in more stuff. I wonder if, will there be a time when he can't be this kind of, because he's similar to the Ricky Baker guy.
He's
angrier. He's much angrier, I guess.
He's much angrier, but he's an angry young man.
But I thought it was really good.
Has he been in other stuff besides those two things?
I'm sure he's been in some other indie things.
Probably some New Zealand things.
I can look that
things.
Up if you want. It's probably some New Zealand things.
Yeah.
But no, I liked him. I thought it was a good inclusion.
Yeah, I liked him too, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like the first exchange where you see him, where him and Deadpool have a conversation and, you know, like RoboCop comes up and a bunch of different stuff.
Right. This movie, if you are hoping for more... if you're hoping for expanded scenes and more stuff with, say, I don't know, Negasonic or Dopinda or somebody like that, or Weasel, you are not going to get that in this movie.
I think there's probably more Negasonic than the others.
Uh-huh, yep.
I thought she was really good.
Me too.
Yeah, she's great.
But there's not a lot of... If you're hoping for expanded screen time from anybody really in the previous movie, you're not going to get it. This is all about the new characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't disagree with that, Mason, and I won't.
Well, good.
Speaking of, though, Domino, I thought worked really well.
Yeah, that's Zazie Beetz from Atlanta and, of course, Geostorm, one of your favourite movies.
She's
in Geostorm, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad film, isn't it? Badly. I said this another thing in my review. Oh, by the way, I did an Easter egg video. It's up now. It's very extensive. Please check it out. It's linked below. It's very good, Mason. It's my best video ever.
Ever, mate? Yeah, good for you.
But I said the casting was spot on for her. And people are like, well, she's black. Yeah, it still works. she's really good in the role.
Uh-huh.
She handles the action sequence as well. She's funny. She's just, like you said, she's a good foil.
And also, Domino in the comics is like, she's not a white. She's chalk white.
Yes.
She's not a real white person. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yeah. So, and there's some other characters that obviously turn up we won't talk about. But what about Cable? What did you think?
Good.
It's a ringing endorsement.
No, it is a ringing endorsement.
Long pause.
Yep. Right. No, I'm just trying to think because his origin. He's been given. I feel quite a generic origin, and his motivations, I think, are quite different than they are in the comic books.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I 100% am on board. It's kind of, we'll get into it in spoilers, I think, but it's kind of that, Or you could, like, you couldn't have thought of something else?
Yeah.
This origin?
I thought that the same thing for the way they kicked off Deadpool's story. I'm like, really, that?
Yeah, right.
That?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that was one thing I didn't really...
I think if you are a big fan of Deadpool 1, which I imagine a lot of people watching Deadpool 2 are,
yeah,
then Deadpool's story arc in this is earned. But if you don't, if you're unfamiliar, I think it's very much unearned.
Yeah.
I think you'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Is that why? But
I
think if you're taking this as, well, obviously it's a sequel, I think you'd be like, well, that's okay.
That's actually a good point. That's not a bad point.
We'll talk about it in
point.
A second, yeah.
Yeah.
But like
mm-hmm. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I mean, this version of Cable, there's no indication that he's, I guess, Jean Grey and Cyclops' son from a potential future that they made while in weird clone bodies or whatever it is, whatever his origin is.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't appear to have any, like...
He's got a magnetic gun?
Yeah.
You didn't see he's got telekinesis.
He doesn't appear to have anything, but his power mostly seemed to derive from whatever is powering his cybernetic arm, whether it's the techno-organic virus.
I think it's
from
the virus, because you see him kind of looking at it in
the mirror
at one point. It
seems to be expanding, yeah. But it's a cool.
Yeah, I think it looks good.
We see a lot of its functionality in the trailers and stuff. He can magnetize his gun.
Yeah.
He's got that force field thing going on.
Yeah.
Look good. Sweet. I think he doesn't seem as, he's not as physically intimidating as the comic book version.
No.
Well, as is literally pointed out in it. He's only 5'11".
Yeah.
As is pointed out in
not
the.
Not 6'8".
Yeah, right.
But I think if you got a guy who's 6'8", there's not a lot of actors who are that big. That
no, for sure.
I mean, it's Sabretooth from the first X-Men.
Yeah, you know? And I think they come across. We get across that he is.
Yeah, he's
physically
really
threatening enough that works.
He can beat up Deadpool.
I would like to see him bigger though.
Yeah, well, they could have CGI'd him a bit bigger.
That's true. Maybe they will in the sequel. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. You know,
I actually didn't mind Weasel in this, even though TJ Miller's a bad bloke. I thought he did a good
job. For sure.
Job.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And I don't think there was. There's not that much Dopinder in the first one.
No.
So I would say there's probably about the same.
It's about the same, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that's fair enough. Right, what else we got here, Mason? I think if you don't find this funny, this would be a horrible film to watch. Like, if you were not on board for this humor,
yeah, right. Uh-huh.
This would just be a real drag.
Because there's quips left and right.
Yeah. It's non-stop. But it was over 50% for me, and the stuff that didn't work, I wasn't like, that's a bad joke, and I hate
it. No, that's true. I never felt the urge to groan at anything. I wasn't like, oof, what a bad call, or whatever.
I did feel there were some lines that were 80-yard in, and it even sounded like it.
Yeah.
There's a bit where Deadpool calls Dopinder Brown Panther, and it seems like, well, Black Panther just came out, and that's
right.
a very topical reference, and you can just make him say that. So
this is also a movie that takes very good advantage of misdirects in the trailer.
Yes.
There's some stuff, there's some alternate takes, there's some stuff that we see in the trailer that is a little different from
what
we get in the actual movie. Interesting. I thought it worked for the better. I don't know how many times we're going to fall for it. Probably every time.
Probably every time, forever.
Every time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Hollywood's lying to us, Mason. Would you want to do spoilers now?
Yeah, let's do spoilers. Hang on, what we covered everything? Characters, motivation?
Did you tell us what the story was?
Yeah, I did tell you what the story was. I nailed it. And don't listen back.
Okay, what about this? Did you think it was better than the first?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, notwithstanding the bit about there's not an action sequence that's better than in the first one.
I did like how there's an action sequence where it's just Deadpool with a brick.
Yeah, that's
true.
That
was probably
the
most John Wick kind of moment. There's like a bit where
John Brick.
Good. Where he kicks up, like there's like a shotgun exchange in that, and I'm like, that looks like John Wick.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But it's for a second.
It is for a second, and I think that, I don't know, like maybe it's the jump from this is an action movie with, you know, a lot of emphasis on, you know, kung fu and MMA and all that sort of stuff, and jiu-jitsu or whatever, to this kind of comic booky action sequence.
Yeah, he's not precise.
No, but I felt it lost. Given that it was one of the John Wick guys, I expected a lot of this stuff to have more weight to it.
Yeah,
the combat to have more weight, and it didn't. There was more gore, but it was just kind of. It felt like that, like a soft
shoot
action.
Him up.
Yeah, just kind of shoot him up, or like
you know the movie shoot him up.
Some of the stuff in Justice League, but although obviously not that bad.
Sure.
But just like where you're like, is this
that
taking
movie
place?
Was all right though.
No, it's bad. Is this taking place in the real world or is it not?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I would have preferred more. If you're gonna make a gory movie, make it more visceral and real. But
soundtrack's good though.
It's a good soundtrack.
It really adds to the film.
Yeah.
And there's dubstep, which I didn't mind.
Okay, I'm going to say best movie ever because I have a thought about it being a soundtrack thought.
Best movie ever. And also
I had fun with it, which is our middle ground, I guess. Yeah.
There's some surprisingly okay emotional stuff in this.
Yeah, right.
Which
uh-huh.
you think wouldn't work. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, spoilers.
Spoilers here. All right, on the soundtrack, is this movie just Annie?
Why do you say that?
Like, is Deadpool Daddy Warbucks and the kid is Annie?
And what? It's because he can play a song and everybody does it. What do you mean? Like, I haven't seen Annie. I don't remember Annie.
Because it's Little Orphan Annie. He rescues the orphan and then they learn to love each other. Is that this movie?
Does one of them call upon a giant indestructible man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, it is, I guess.
Oh, yeah, cool. Because did you see Ryan Reynolds went on a Korean singing competition?
I saw the mask
singing thing and he sang Tomorrow from the film Annie.
I saw the
Twitter moment?
Yeah, but I didn't watch it.
Okay, right.
Ryan Reynolds went on a thing and
he's
I went,
a good singer.
Good on him. Yeah. Well, one of those guys who can do everything. Bloody
right.
good on
good
him.
Good on
mate.
Him, exactly, yeah.
Well, maybe it is Annie.
Yeah.
Maybe it bloody is.
I mean, it's only vaguely Annie.
It's only vaguely
anyway,
Annie.
The Juggernaut's in this. Yeah. I called it.
You did.
I know, but I'd be curious to know because I called it based on the Bob Ross trailer.
Yes.
Where Deadpool draws like a red splotch on his canvas.
And
then he goes, whoa. And I went, oh, that looks like the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
But that doesn't look anything like the Juggernaut in the movie. So I'm wondering if that was a deliberate idea and I picked up on it or if I just pulled that out of my ass and it's a coincidence.
No, I think you picked it.
Nice.
I think you did it on purpose.
What do you think of this version of the Juggernaut?
It's obviously a giant CGI man.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. Because they
whenever they pull up a really comic book accurate X-Men character like Colossus.
Yes.
I'm like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
That's what you should be doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now we have I guess now we have the technology to make it look good.
Yeah.
We don't have to go, oh, maybe Colossus would work, but I mean, maybe just make his face silver. Just make a regular man's face silver and give him the black X-Men outfit. You can just go, here he is, he's 8 feet tall or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we can do it
voiced
now.
By Ryan Reynolds as well.
There we go.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of cameos, though, so we get some of the X-Men from the young X-Men
see,
timeline.
See, I like that because it's clearly... They,
it's just whatever.
Because it's the 80s X-Men, I guess, or the first-class X-Men. And I like the idea that... When we were talking about this is a movie for the fans, I like the idea that it went, hey, you know how the continuity sucks in these movies?
Yeah.
It's just the 80s X-Men now. When's this movie set? Is it set now or in the 80s? It doesn't
matter.
He says
Patrick Stewart also.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, even the Colossus doesn't make sense because there's another version of that character.
Yeah, right.
In this universe. But no, I'm totally okay with that. Mm. I also liked the Brad Pitt cameo.
As the Vanisher.
What? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. See, and speaking of Mr. X, was that... That's current day Brad Pitt, right?
Oh yeah,
isn't it
he
old
did
version?
That. It seemed
okay,
like
well.
He did it. And speaking of cameos, we were talking about this before the show. The bit where Cable steals the truck from the two rednecks. One of them's Alan Tudyk, and the other one is credited as Dickie Greenleaf, which is the name of Jude Law's character in The Talented Mr. Ripley, who Matt Damon impersonates. And that actor is played by Matt Damon in prosthetics, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Is he just doing weird comic book movie cameos?
I guess so. What else is he doing?
Well, he was in... Yeah. So he did Ragnarok and this, and he also popped up in...
Downsizing.
Right. And what's that one? Wait, Eurotrip. He did another weird cameo.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Sure, right. Yeah. Oh, I guess you've got to spend your time doing something. Maybe he just loves movie sets.
He must. Well, he's
but anyway,
enough.
speaking of Mr. X...
Yeah.
In the... Many of the Deadpool trailers, we had Shatterstar and Bedlam got... Action beats.
Street time.
And in this, nothing.
None of that. Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
I agree. I like suspected going into this, because you don't really see much of them. I thought, these guys are going to get mashed or something. And then when they were building up the team,
yeah.
Like, I know, this is like a MacGruber joke.
Right, okay.
So I was, but it was still a lot of fun to just see them get torn apart and fly into helicopters.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I mean, who cares if Shatterstar gets killed? And
that's
also,
true.
If they want to bring him back, he saved them all.
Yeah, well, exactly. You don't know. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. The mid credit sequence. Deadpool goes back and he brings his girlfriend back to life.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Whatever.
Well, exactly. That's it. Exactly. It's to one degree.
I mean, it undercuts the entire.
It undercuts the entire film, And at the same time, it's Deadpool, so yeah, really it doesn't matter.
So whatever,
matter.
Yeah.
If we want to, we'd like to see Marina Baccarin back again, so why not?
Yeah.
I thought that this movie
Marina
was...
back again.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Ooh, it's my own medicine. Very sweet. do you... I thought what was going to happen in this is that Cable was going to sacrifice his last... We knew he was going to sacrifice his last time travel bit of juice to go back and save somebody. I assumed he was going to go back in time and save...
That's what I thought, his girlfriend.
His girlfriend, and then... Which happens... But, and then you go, well, that wouldn't happen because then the whole outcome of the movie would be different.
Yes.
But then Deadpool just goes back and saves her anyway.
Yeah.
And then I guess he must pretend that she's dead... For the remainder
the rest
of the
movie. Yeah, I guess.
And then go and save the team. I don't know.
But then he also goes into the real world and kills Ryan Reynolds.
Right, uh-huh.
And he also jumps into the X-Men Origins timeline.
And kills original
kills
Deadpool.
Kills original Deadpool. Which I liked a lot.
Me too.
But again, it's that timeline thing. None of that makes sense.
No, for sure, absolutely.
Because even if... No, it just doesn't. Like, I'm not even going to get
it. It absolutely doesn't. If you assume that this current Deadpool exists in the regular X-Men universe, then who was the Wade Wilson in X-Men Origins Wolverine?
You could say that that is the same guy and that was a mission he's done prior to him becoming
a
mercenary.
I guess so, yeah.
But then he killed himself.
Maybe that's a clone.
Yeah, you're right.
There we go. Perfect.
It doesn't. But that's the thing, though. It doesn't matter.
And also because I think they're relying on the fandom to... rewrite or to fix all the problems like we just did. If you just go, okay, well, they kidnapped Wade Wilson when he was Wade Wilson and they cloned him into this weird Deadpool monstrosity and then he escaped and now he's regular Deadpool.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Like that's, we've solved the problem. It's fixed.
Yeah.
Now.
We've done it fine.
But yeah, to also the time travel doesn't really matter. Are they going back? Are they physically going back or are they doing the Days of Future Past
in
time
mind?
Travel thing in the mind? Because Cable clearly goes back in time physically, but in all the other sequences, he goes back just into his own... Like, the first time he goes back, he just goes back, I guess, into his own mind and puts the coin in, the skee-ball token in Deadpool's pocket.
Or
he replaces himself. It's all
a
bit vague.
Or he replaces himself, exactly.
Or he just puts a word in his past self, see, hey, put the coin
in
his pocket or whatever. And then also, is that when Deadpool goes back in time to save his girlfriend, does he go back... Does he push the other guy out of the way? Or does he just go back into his mind?
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But at the same time, if...
Also, he has a time machine now.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, I get... No, I mean, you can just write it out, but then you can just write it back. See, I guess the problem with this movie is that if you go, hey... And as a genre-defying piece of funny, it's just silly and who cares and it doesn't matter how the plot goes. Let's just keep the jokes rolling. That's cool and fun.
It's cool.
It is cool. It's my thing, all right?
Okay.
But
that's really working for you.
Thank you. Going forward, though, if the next X-Force, if they do Deadpool 3 or they do X-Force, how are you going to maintain dramatic tension if you can go, well, he's just have him use the time machine?
I guess
or...
that is the problem. You can't have... another movie with emotional weight.
Yes.
When he can just erase everything or the previous movie doesn't matter or whatever.
Yeah, you can't kill anybody. I guess you have to really dive deep into Deadpool doesn't have any real emotional attachments besides his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So it doesn't...
This one seems like he does, though.
More
than most versions of the comic.
For sure, yeah. And I think you have to go, okay, he's just a cartoony character. You could kill off any of his friends and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So why... So kill him, bring him back, kill him, bring him back. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is fine in an enclosed space in his own closed system. But if you bring out any additional characters or you put him into a larger context, then that kind of doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe it does.
And
I don't know.
I think that's going to be the problem for the future for Disney if this deal goes through.
Yep.
You cannot fold this guy into the MCU. Because you'll break it.
Yeah, for sure.
So you kind of have to... I mean, maybe you could lightly.
Yeah.
But you'd have to really keep him as a separate thing.
Yeah, right.
Which is kind of what he is in the comics. Like, it's not often that he's just in the Avengers.
That's true.
It doesn't happen very often. Or if
he
does, it's briefly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, Mason.
Isn't it?
What do you think of the Juggernaut-Colossus fight?
Well, see, also the thing about the Juggernaut is that he wasn't...
He didn't seem to have all of his Juggernaut abilities.
No, because this would be the perfect opportunity to just... Because he does mention that he is, you know, Professor X's half-brother.
Yeah.
And this is a universe where it's not just mutants. there's, you know, shadow stars from Mojo World, and et cetera. So this would be the perfect opportunity to go, oh, by the way, this version of the Juggernaut is magic, like he is in the comic books.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Powered by the Crimson... You could have thrown in a Doctor Strange joke or something, because they have the same power source for a lot of stuff.
Well, they don't really specify what his powers are. And it's also, he is stopped. But I guess he stopped because he didn't build up enough momentum. Because isn't it when he gets moving?
No, well, see, the comic book version of the Juggernaut is basically unstoppable in all circumstances. Like, if he's moving at 1 mile an hour, you can't stop him from moving at 1 mile an hour.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So in this, I guess he's just a big, tough, strong guy.
Yeah.
Again, if you just go, well, this is a silly movie and who cares?
Yeah.
Then it doesn't really matter. He's just the biggest, toughest, strong guy.
You just, in the comics, you just got to get his helmet off. That's the kind of...
Yes, for sure.
And then, somebody gets in his mind or whatever.
Correct, which I kind of thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
He was going to be unstoppable.
No,
someone's going to pry his helmet off, and then we get like a James McAvoy cameo or something like that.
No, they went up his butt.
They just went up his butt, which again, but I guess as a comic book fan, I was like, well, how, they couldn't defeat him like this. This is this is dumb.
And he wasn't red.
This bit where they stuck an electrical wire up his bum and then they pushed him into a pool, that's not comic book accurate at all.
Well, I mean, it didn't kill him either because you see him getting out
at
the end. Mm. Yeah. What did you think of that score for beating up mutants or whatever? It's weird that Domino went there even though she was really lucky and they abused her. Even though she's really lucky.
Good point.
Thank you.
Maybe she's become more lucky as... See, we fix all the problems.
God, we're good.
Maybe
at
she's become more lucky as she's grown up.
But also, it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter. It's
like
true.
Anything else, it just doesn't
but
matter.
But I don't know. I feel like Cruel Mean Orphanage is out of... It's a bit anachronistic, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess
I'm sure they still exist, but it was very much this 1960s nod to Legion. I don't know. Maybe,
yeah, right.
I don't know.
There's a few... They talk about how... I like the line about how the X-Men are a dated metaphor for 1960s racism or whatever.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
So I thought it was kind of weak how they defriged Vanessa at the start. That's interesting what you said. Based off the previous movie, it's not that. Because they actually do...
No, because they have genuinely good chemistry in the first movie. And you see them... And so when she gets kidnapped at the end of the first movie, you kind of feel for her after that. And maybe when you think she is going to die, you feel something.
Yeah.
So going into the second one, you do, you know, it's an established character who we liked. And I'm like, oh, it is a shame that she's dead, even though now she's back.
Yeah.
And all that narrative weight is ruined. But at the same time, to just give Cable the same origin story, my wife and kid died.
Yeah.
That's not his origin, as far as I'm aware.
Did you want to come back in time and stop whatever the thing he wants to stop? I can't even remember.
What Apocalypse.
That's right, but they just did that, didn't they?
Yeah, see?
And Apocalypse gave him the virus as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you like to see proper Apocalypse? Propolypse?
Yeah, a Propolypse. Mr. Propolypse. Yes, I would. And he'd have his proper lips.
He would have his proper...
So that would be good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess so. I didn't... And it was all quite... I was expecting this, again, this apocalyptic future where... And it was a bit vague. It seemed to just be like the world was fine, more or less, and he was hunting down mutants and one of them killed his family so he had to go back in time.
But
But
it's weird because the world also didn't look fine because he lived with his family and it was just like a regular home.
But then
but then
he
looked out
fire.
The window and it looks like the Days of Future Past future.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was hunting mutants. Did they say that?
No, I think he was... I don't know what he was doing. He was keeping... It was some form of future law enforcement, I guess. Maybe he's just keeping dangerous mutants in line or whatever.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. But again, we don't know anything about the wife and the daughter. And they're just like, here's my wife and daughter. And now they're dead.
But I'm back.
It's kind of cheap. And it's just so they could have a... Just so Deadpool and he could have a thing to...
Kids.
To work together on. But that's... I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They could meet on... Together in some other form. I don't know.
But they didn't.
They didn't.
And that's okay. Or is it? Got some reviews here from people. I'm sure you've got some more things to say, Mason, which is fine.
I'm just about out of things to say.
It's from Alex. The action in Deadpool 2 is better than the jokes, and that inherently makes me sad. I love the first one, and this was good but far from great. It really was. Look at my balls.
Yep.
Adam,
not wrong.
Adam says, saw Deadpool 2. I would have liked to see more Vanessa, but Domino was great, and I hope we get more of her in the future. I thought the movie was tons of fun, and Meso was right. Hashtag hot scoop. Juggernaut.
That's
what you're right
about. Yeah, nice.
This is from...
Oh, as is our tradition, obviously, because of that, you have to do a shot of poop.
But I agreed.
Yeah, but no, you still have to do a shot of poop, though.
Man.
Because I don't make the rules, obviously. You're aware of this. The rules are in place. I don't make the rules.
This is from just me. Just saw Deadpool. Enjoyed it very much. Much more than the first Deadpool. Best movie ever. Best Deadpool movie ever.
Yep. Agreed.
Scott Sky says, I think Deadpool went bigger with the action, fully embraced the fan service-y inside joke for comic book fans. Overall, the story didn't have the same impact as the first one, though. Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Old Greg says, saw Deadpool, hated the first half of the movie. I don't know. Once they formed X-Force, it was better. The last credits sequence bumped it up a couple of points. The final action sequence was pretty good. Meh. And Bryson Davies says, just saw Deadpool 2. There were too many Marvel and DC references. Most were very jarring and almost annoying by the end. The movie had more forced references than Ready Player One.
Ooh, I think it had fewer than Ready
Player
One. I mean,
comparatively, sure.
For sure.
Maybe he's using hyperbole.
Yeah. Hyperbole. Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe he's partaking in the hyperbole, the better version of the Super Bowl. Okay.
Yeah, what did you think?
I was going to say, I forgot to mention, I think Rob Delaney is also great in this. I would like to see him back again.
Yeah.
Regular Joe.
Did you enjoy the bit how he got vomited on and he melted?
Yeah, that was fun.
Very good.
Yeah, so that's it. That's Bill Skarsgård,
yeah,
right?
Okay. That's right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
fun.
That is fun.
And I enjoyed the part when they're all diving off out of the plane and he kind of scooches down and like sits on the edge. That was fun.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about we kind of did. The parachute sequence was good.
It was fun.
I enjoyed the line.
Yeah. It's a good moment. Mm, yeah. Good. Brad Pitt. He was going to be Cable actually at one point. They did some concept art for it.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yeah. Is that it?
I think that's it, yeah.
I'm sure we'll come back to this in there. But overall, yeah. It's all right.
Cool. Great, yeah.
You know what it's time for then?
It's time for what we're reading.
What are we going to read?
What are we going to read?
I'm doing a thing.
What have you been reading?
Well, after I saw that thing about Matt Damon and Dickie Greenleaf, I watched Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
It's great. I haven't seen it in like 15 years, and I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I might even watch the other Tom Ripley movies, even though they're not really connected.
Oh, Ripley's Game?
Ripley's Game. There's one with
John Malkovich?
Yeah, that one I'll watch next. And then there's one from like with Barry Pepper, which I probably won't watch actually.
Who's Barry Pepper?
He's in Saving Private Ryan.
Is he Ripley?
Sniper.
He's Ripley.
Yeah, he's Ripley.
Oh.
Maybe it's modern day and he has a leather trench coat.
Okay.
But it's from like, a while back. But no, it's really... Talented Mr. Ripley is a good film.
Great.
And people should watch it. Mm. And also, today, by the time this goes out, I'm seeing Solo.
Oh, very exciting.
So I'm looking forward
to... We'll both be watching Solo this week. That's exciting.
That's right. And that'll be next week's episode. So if people want to share your opinions, please do.
Yeah.
With us.
I've been watching Search Party, which I've mentioned before.
What's that again?
It's the one, it's Alia Shawkat from Arrested Development. And she's one of a group of like disaffected 20-somethings, and she's like, she sees a missing persons poster for an acquaintance from college, and she's like, I'm going to go find that person. It's going to be my mission.
Okay.
And it's kind of a comedy, and it takes a real dark turn at the end of the first season. So,
sweet. What's it on?
It's on TBS in America, and in Australia it's on SBS On Demand.
Great.
But it's really very, very good. It's super, super dark.
I will watch that.
Yeah, don't watch it if you want a fun, happy time.
I don't, Mason. Let me tell you. I want to watch a grim thing like everything else.
Oh, nice.
In the universe.
Wow. Have we watched anything else?
I've got a tweet here from something that somebody's watched.
Yeah, please.
I'm including this. It's from Joshua. Batman Ninja is 90% garbage with only the slightest glimpse of a good premise.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, they probably won't get another chance. Wow.
People are loving Batman
very
Ninja.
Negative. That's very negative. I just thought that was interesting because a lot of people love it. But yeah,
everybody loves it.
Maybe it's crap.
Look, it looks great, certainly. I'll watch it this week and I'll get back to you.
I won't
but
watch
I'm
it.
As I'm someone who likes maybe 50% of the DC animated stuff.
Maybe.
And I mean the current stuff. Like I love Batman the Animated Series and Justice League Unlimited and all that sort of stuff.
You're talking about the new
like
Suicide
the one shot stuff
and
the Suicide Squad
Dark.
and the Batman Year One adaptations and stuff like that.
I like that one. That's
he kicks
no
a tree
good.
In
that's no
how does he kick a tree
in
half? Is it an old tree? You can't just translate direct dialogue to the comic. It's weird.
Kicked a tree.
Doesn't work.
But it's got Gotham's own kid from the OC as Batman.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. Yeah.
He's not a kid. He's like 44 or whatever.
He's been Batman and Commissioner Gordon. Can you imagine?
Can I imagine that he's done it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's literally done it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Letters?
Letters.
Is it time for letters?
It's time for letters.
Classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
And now they're here right now, we're gonna do letters.
Yes, very good, Mason.
Very good.
If you want to reach the show, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, send us a letter. Nice. We can check it and then read it through Twitter. But if you want to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, you can send an email to Mason and he will read it out, just like the one he's got right
now.
Yes.
I've got one. Surprise, surprise.
I thought you looked ready.
This is from Nathan Brown.
Okay.
Hi, Mason, the dad. That's you.
Hello.
Okay, bit of sizzle first. I'm not going to say the title of the subject line, but here's a bit of sizzle. I was listening to your podcast while chopping low branches off a tree.
It doesn't sound like...
It was an episode I've listened to before, the Batman v Superman one.
It's a classic. Oh,
it is a classic. He says he likes listening to our disappointment turning to anger and finally exhaustion and apathy. It's most episodes, to be honest. Sometimes we record these very late. He got to the part where you, James, are going off at Snyder for using that video you made about the Batman killing people to justify the murderous Batman. The axe cut through a branch quickly. He had his feet in a dumb position. The axe hit him in the foot.
Oh, no.
He cut into the webbing of his big and less big toe. So right in the sweet spot, right in there. He's informing us because he's decided to sue us.
What?
I know, right?
Okay, fair
enough. Anyway, that's Nathan. Thanks, Nathan. Good to know. We'll look forward to that.
At least he didn't lose any toes.
Doesn't seem that way, yeah.
Yeah.
It's mostly emotional distress, it seems.
And the webbing.
Yeah. So thus far, we've had people...
car accidents?
We've had people in car accidents. We've had people whose bosses have yelled at them at work.
Yeah.
And now...
Wives hate them.
Wives hate them, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Wives left them.
We've met some genuinely unimpressed partners at our live shows.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's why we...
Hey, this is my girlfriend. Hey, nice to meet you. Oh, hey. Hey, what's up?
This is
he listens every week. I have to listen to you every week. Yep.
So that's why we do the charity, because we're just doing bad things.
Oh, here's another one. If I can segue into this very quickly. This is from Stephen Parrish. He loves the show. He listens every week. That's very nice. His mom only listens once a year when we're trapped in our car from our yearly trip from Mexico to California.
Whoa.
Could you give her a shout out for trying her best to understand all the stuff you guys are talking about?
Hey!
Her name's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for listening.
Welcome aboard.
How about this? Flex Mentallo.
Very good.
What about that as a reference? How
it's
about
a great
that?
Reference. She loves
Minor
it.
Doom Patrol character. Got his own limited series. Grant Morrison. Good stuff.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Got some tweets here. This is from Cameron Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds related, probably.
I don't think it is.
Oh, come on.
When the DCEU is over, do you guys want to see different stories like a live-action Superman Red Sun or a live-action Gotham by Gaslight or more stories like that? I would say not even when it's over. Just do it.
Just do it.
Pick good stories and do that.
I don't necessarily... Would you rather, though, an Elseworlds story like a Superman Red Sun or just a good Superman movie? I think they need to...
Good Superman
I think
movie,
they just need... I think maybe Man of Steel 2 can do it.
Yeah.
Just give me a good Superman story so you can prove that he can work in an ongoing...
And then subvert the genre.
I want people to be aware that he can work in an ongoing universe that doesn't have to be a weird novelty universe where he's joined the Soviet Union or whatever. I just want him to be like... He exists as a character. He's not overpowered because of the context you put him in.
Yep.
And he's a good character and a likable character.
And a nice man.
And a nice man. And we enjoy his work. And sometimes he has to stop Tom Cruise from going rogue.
Yeah. And then you make him Russian.
Then you make him Russian after
Russian around.
Russian around after
solving
Tom Cruise.
Crimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Very good. No, but I think, aside from that, you could do the others. You could do some of the other Elseworld stuff.
Yeah.
Sure. Make Batman a vampire. Make him fight the Predator. I don't care. Yeah. Uh-huh. Do a bunch of weird shit. Because that would be cool and fun, maybe. Or bad. So that's good, too.
Who currently owns The Predator?
Fox.
All right, okay.
So then Disney.
Okay, so that's never going to happen. That's a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame. Man, would you watch that movie?
Yeah.
I know there's some fan films that Batman Predator.
Yeah, right.
Which they've got a pretty good production thingamajig. This is from Winston Braithwaite. Any relation to Ryan Reynolds, do you think?
Maybe related to Ryan Reynolds and Daryl Braithwaite.
I was going
to
say that. That was my joke, Mason.
Okay, right.
But I subverted the expectations.
That was very good. I loved it.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Hi, Nick and Mason and Dog. All this talk of Tom Cruise's escalation Mission Impossible stunts had me wondering how he'll meet his end. I think he'll jump off a roof in the style of Danson and Heimsmith in The Other Guys. I didn't know those guys' names, but I know now I do. how do you guys think he'll meet his doom? Do you think he's going to be one of those live forever guys? Or do you think he's going to have a, like, a Steve Irwin horrible accident. Like he's going to get mashed. Like he's going to.
I think he's going to live forever. Yeah. I don't see him.
But he could hurt himself, like fall out of an airplane.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
And his arms come off.
Yeah. I mean, we don't. Cause it's always like he's doing his own dangerous stunts. But I mean, stuntmen do dangerous stunts,
and
they're mostly fine.
But that's also their job that they've been doing for
right,
years.
But I mean,
but
also,
he's also
been doing it for years. Like they, I mean, and there's a lot of learning on the job, and there are incidents and stuff like that. But I think also they would absolutely not let him on the side of that plane if they thought even for a moment he would actually be killed. I mean, we can't rule it out.
Yeah, you couldn't
rule it out definitively. But
yeah, it would be checked and double checked, and he'd send up poorer people first.
Yeah, and I mean they would. I imagine it would be annoying to be an actual stuntman on a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
Because they would absolutely give him more attention and more like health and safety backup than they would the actual stuntman, I'm sure.
Yes.
They'd be like, okay, you get two guys there backing you up to help you if you fall off the thing. And then they would back away and then it'd be Tom Cruise's turn. It'd be 10 guys to help him out.
And he'd have a wider selection of fruit and vegetables to enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd imagine. What do you reckon, if Tom Cruise was to have an accident, he was going to die?
Yes.
Where would you think his last words would go? Would it be like, ha, 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 I'm dead?
Yeah, like something absolutely. Like that. Yeah.
I'm out.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if he doesn't...
Maybe it'd be Top Gun. I think it'd be Top Gun.
I would love it if he shouted Top Gun.
And then his head came clean off. Whoosh.
Yeah, I think, yeah, obviously an accident is possible, but he's probably going to live forever. But as we were talking the other day, sometimes really healthy people, it's just like, oh, your heart was bad your whole life and you didn't know and you died. Also, oh, you've never had an asthma attack, but you had one and
it killed you.
And it killed you.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. You just don't know.
Yeah. There was a guy, Jim Fix, he was like a professional jogger. He wrote books about jogging. He died jogging.
Did he?
Yeah.
From like heart attack-y situation-y?
Yeah. I think it was one of those. It was one of those undiagnosed heart failures.
Man.
You just don't know.
There you bloody go. Yeah. Get yourself checked, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the motto.
That's the two.
You got another letter or is that going to be
it? This is just a letter from Zach Hattrick. Great name.
That's a great name.
Good, solid name, isn't it? Yesterday, in his neighborhood of Buffalo, New York, the 1960s Batmobile crashed. Did you see this?
He's put a photo up.
He took a photo. Very surreal moment. Nobody's hurt, fortunately.
Good.
Very surreal moment driving home from work and seeing the Batmobile on the side of the road.
Man, that's an old school car where if you got hit really hard in that, you would be shredded to bits.
Oh, sure. There's no...
The car looks mostly fine, does it?
Yeah, it seems fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's no roof on that thing.
No.
Yeah.
Or probably seat belts.
Yes, for sure.
Man, that is surreal. Remember we saw the Batmobile when I was living closer in the city and went to the comic shop and the Batmobile was there, but the guy in the bat suit was wearing the Nolan version. And we were like, what is this?
That is a continuity nightmare. It's like if that's like bloody Deadpool existed in the DC universe, you know what I mean? You wouldn't know Batman was driving which Batmobile.
Correct. He took a few shots at the bloody DC universe, though, didn't he?
He sure did.
There was a Martha joke.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good.
Was it?
It was fine.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Just a quick shout out. This is a note from Claire. She said, I have to say this.
And oh, your wife, Claire.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
It says, Zach White's birth...
Did she email in the Weekly Planet pod?
She put it in there because I go into the ad copy for the week.
Yes.
And she put this note. It said, Zach White's birthday. He's turning 20. So
oh,
shout
right.
out.
Happy birthday, Zach.
From his sister, Leah Kate.
Oh, that's
so
very nice.
There you bloody go.
Well.
Well done, guys. Mm. You made it. You made it past Claire, the gatekeeper. Very impressive. But no, happy birthday. And happy birthday to all.
Happy birthday to everybody who's having a birthday today, or in fact, any day.
Or any day.
Yeah. Or no days.
Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe you arrived on in a wicker basket on a doorstep of an evil orphanage and you don't know when your birthday is. I mean, sure, it's probably that they'd give you that day as your birthday, but you don't actually know.
No, because you're an evil orphanage. They wouldn't give you a birthday.
Happy birthday anyway.
Yeah, but they wouldn't give you the day that you arrived there. You just wouldn't get one.
That's true.
Just once every year, they'd punch you in the head.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then on all the other days, they'd also punch you in the head.
Yeah, but meaner.
Yes.
So happy punched in the head day to you, to everyone out there.
Yeah. This week's Caravan of Garbage is a Star Wars comic. It's coming out it's coming out a bit after Tuesday, but it'll be on Patreon a bit early. We're wrapping up our Star Wars Infinity trilogy, which we've been working on since The Force Awakens came out a bit before then. So it's been it's been three or so
years.
It's
been a wild ride
of those ones. Ben's doing the editing, and Eric's doing some animations. And if you see the Deadpool one from last week, those guys are a stellar team. Ben does them all, like, amazing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not in the editing, but also the sound effects are just great. So yeah, you can bloody check that out if you want. Also, we're thinking about to promote some other podcasts coming up. We thought we might drop some other episodes of other shows in the Planet Broadcast Network into our feed and various feeds. We might do a little introduction and be like, hey, this is Do Go On. Hey, this is bloody Hey Fam, whatever. And then you can listen to it if
you
want.
Little surprise during the week. Yeah. If you're hurting for content.
Yeah. But also, you don't have to listen to it.
Correct.
It's just, you know, yes. If you want to hear some other great podcasts, it might be a good way to kind of...
That's a good idea.
Get involved in that. Mm. Anything else, Mason? Or do you want to do the end of the show?
Oh, I should do the end of the show. Let's see. If you want to get a hold of us, you can go to Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Gmail and Twitter and Bandcamp. We've got, if you're a couple of weeks behind, we've got two commentaries
churning
out.
Deadpool, them out.
Rogue One, churning them out.
We're probably going to do Jurassic World at some point soon.
You can also go to at the Weekly Planet on Twitter. That's our friend Rob Collings, nailing it all the time.
How does he do it?
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
If you would like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. You can chuck in a buck if you like.
You
can also go to the Amazon affiliate link on our episode description if you want to buy X-Men Origins Wolverine. That's my off-the-top-of-the-head recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
Is it as bad as we remember? Probably.
I would imagine so,
yes. Imagine it's much worse.
For my Easter egg video, I went through some stuff and... Nah, man, no good.
Yeah, great. Like,
real bad.
If you'd also like to support our Care Australia campaign, you can do that. Probably, it's in the episode description.
It's linked below.
You can also, that's
great
also...
Great prizes.
It's also linked on my Instagram.
Oh, there you go.
Which is Nick Maseau, M-A-S-E-A-U.
And mine's Mr. Sunday Graham.
If you posted anything yet.
Nah.
Great stuff.
Why would I?
Let's see, we've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com. Just search for The Weekly Planet. Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
Yes.
Go to planetbroadcasting.com if you'd like to check out all the shows. Sign up for our newsletter, which again, Rob Collings does.
Yes, correct.
So good.
The Great Mates page.
That's right, on Facebook.
Yeah.
Planet Broadcasting Great Mates.
If you want a friendly group of people mostly being nice to each other,
yeah.
If you want to talk about things without being yelled at.
Somebody posted, I can't remember, I think it was a piece of Star Wars news.
I saw that,
It was a piece of Lando news. Somebody posted on our group. Everybody had a nice chat about Lando. And then another person was like, here's what I posted this same piece of news on a Star Wars message board. And look what happened. And it was horrific.
It was a train wreck. Private messages
just death threats.
Crazy.
So if you want some civil talk about any number of topics, if you want to talk about our shows, if you want to talk about just comic book stuff or movie stuff or anything, and you want a discussion where people actually get into... like deep chats and have fun with it and don't threaten to kill each other. Go to Planet Broadcasting Great Mates on Facebook. Get in there.
Absolutely.
Answer the question. Answer the gatekeeper questions that Levins has set up for us.
Yes.
And you'll get in and you can talk about all sorts of stuff.
That's right.
It's good. It's good fun.
And that's the show.
That is the show.
Next week's solo. Please send us your opinion if you have any or don't. It's fine also, isn't it?
Yeah, you can also keep it to yourself.
Yeah, that's all good, man. Also, I think you should know that Sean William Scott is playing the new loose unit in the Lethal Weapon series.
Oh, because the other guy
was too much of a loose unit.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Think that's a good loose unit compromise?
He's quite loose. How are they going to explain it, though? Is he going to be his brother, or...?
No, I think they're just going to say, just recast. They recast Spartacus.
Oh, do you think it's going to be the same... It's going
to
be Riggs.
Yeah, they can't write out Riggs.
What if they did, though?
Yeah, they
what
should.
What a twist. Look, Riggs has gone too far.
Kill Riggs.
He was killed in a plane crash that he caused.
He was real-life racist,
but
too.
But you seem like a kind of cop who loves having a loose unit partner, so he's Sean William Scott.
He's
having sex with a pie.
Fantastic.
Good stuff.
All right, guys, thanks for listening.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.